From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Even though I don't live anywhere near St. Louis, one of my most used and appreciated resources for plant information over many, many years has been the Missouri Botanical Garden, with its world-class offerings to gardeners both in person and online. One feature I look forward to each year is the garden's annual Plants of Merit list. And today we're going to talk about those standout varieties just in time to guide your springtime plant shopping. So more in a moment, but first these messages.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top quality spring blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com. Programming and underwriting support from Royal Botanic Gardens, publishers of Kew Pocketbooks, small gift books illustrated from Kew's vast collection of botanical art. The most recent book, Fungi, about the strange and singular world of mushrooms, toadstools, and their kin. In bookstores now.
My guest today is Daria McKelvey, supervisor of the Kemper Center for Home Gardening at the Missouri Botanical Garden, where she oversees its extensive indoor gardens, its plant doctor answer service, and a lot of the website features I mentioned that I rely on so much. You are one busy person, Daria. Welcome, and thanks for making time today and all that.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Yes. I see on your Instagram and on the garden's Instagram and so forth that tulip season's beginning.
Yes. Just this past week, a lot of them started popping out. So hopefully within the next month or like towards the middle of the month, we'll really start seeing all of our displays in just beautiful color.
Yeah. It looks beautiful. So I'm going to give lots of links to things we're going to talk about today with the transcript of this show over on awaytogarden.com. So when we mention things, people will know they'll be able to find it. They don't have to worry. So I hear, first of all, congratulations are in order because you are one of two recipients of the American Horticultural Society's Emerging Horticultural Professional Award. And you know, it's interesting. Sam Keach from Pennsylvania Horticultural Society was just on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he's the other recipient. So,
oh, awesome.
Bookends.
And thank you.
Do you know each other?
We do not.
Yeah,
but that would be cool. We'll maybe meet later in the year.
Yeah. So, well, congratulations. So was that a surprise? That sort of, you know, just that's a nice award to get.
Yeah, it quite was a surprise. I had no idea. And I'm actually even not sure who nominated me. So whoever did, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yes. So when we talked previously, months back, you described yourself to me as a total plant nerd. and I know you're a transplant also from Texas, I believe. So where you're gardening now is a very different place.
It is very different. I'm actually from the western portion of the state near the Panhandle.
Uh-huh.
And it's the weather there is like our average annual rainfall is 18 inches. It's very hot. It's windy and dry. And a lot of the stuff we grow here in St. Louis, would not work elsewhere. So,
wow.
So it's been a very different growing environment, but also it's been a great opportunity to learn so much just within the last couple of years of just expanding my garden knowledge.
So you've been there since 2018 in St. Louis, I think, yeah?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you went to school in Texas. I think you even taught at Texas Tech for a while. You worked at the USDA. So you've had other journeys within this kind of botanical world already. But this is a vast one. I mean, mm-hmm. The Kemper Center, it's a lot going on. You have a lot of things going on.
Oh, there is. Where do I start? So we have two sections, as you mentioned. We have our indoor section, which I oversee. So that includes our plant doctor desk and horticulture answer services, which are our online email and phone services. So if you have gardening questions, you can contact us in person or even if you're in a different state. Like, we get calls about gardening questions from all over the U.S. and also all over the world. Right now, our indoor section is temporarily closed until later this year, but you know, you can give us a call if you have a gardening question. We actually, I think for last numbers, like for 2019, before the pandemic, that year, we answered over 18,000 gardening questions.
Oh, boy. Well, so, and I'll give all the information about how people can reach out. So that's the Plant Doctor Answer Service. Is that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then when I, in the introduction, when I mentioned how I use the Missouri Botanical Garden resources all the time, and I have for many, many years, what I constantly do when someone tells me about a new plant or when I'm going to write about a plant that I'm unfamiliar with, a lot of times what I do is I put the name of the plant and the word, or the M-O-B-O-T, MOBOT. So I put, you know, Petunia integrifolia, MOBOT, and, or whatever, MOBOT, you know, yeah. Ruby chard, MOBOT. And then what I end up getting is a page in your plant finder, which I believe you also oversee. It's like an encyclopedia of plants. And I find it really, really helpful as a great introduction to the care and the traits of each plant.
Yeah. And I've, maybe slightly biased, but at the same time, like, it's a fantastic resource. I mean, I used it even when I was in grad school before I knew I was going to come here. So it's just a really great thing to have. And I have a staff that helps write the profiles, and I'm constantly trying to take photos of what we have out in the garden.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's just a really good resource to use. And also, people, sometimes don't know about our features on that. You can actually, on our advanced search towards the bottom, if you're looking for, let's say, a plant in zone 6 that has pretty flowers and, you know, is a herbaceous perennial, you can put that in and it'll get you, give you a list of plants
right.
that right. meet the growing needs that you need.
Right. So you can really filter.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so you can even filter for plants of merit.
Yes, you can.
Which, I mean, it's funny. I think of in Kew, in the Royal Horticultural Society in England, mm-hmm. they have AGM, Award of Garden Merit, plants mm-hmm. that they sort of give a seal of approval to. And so I sort of think of this as the only other such. I mean, I know there are more regional, localish ones, but I feel like this is a sort of biggish one that you do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can filter in the plant finder for some of those. So I thought maybe we'll have some fun and talk about some of those, because you've really, you've highlighted some plants that I really love. So I was glad to see them. I was like, yeah, yay.
Awesome.
So what's since the 90s, the late 90s or something? How long has this been?
Yeah, I think it's like 1998, 1999.
Yeah.
Is when it started. And it did used to be a little bit bigger because it did involve leaders from local industry, nursery industries, and some other partners as well.
Right.
And I'm not sure why it's kind of shrunk. That was a little bit before my time. So now we're keeping it going because, you know, it's still a very good thing to look at. And so now it's at just the garden staff from different areas, nominating plants that they have grown for a while and have said, you know, this plant is really great. And hopefully one of these days we can, you know, expand it out to get other opinions as well from outside, because I think that would be valuable as well. But just for right now, it's just garden staff.
Right. And so I loved that in recent years, I think it was like last year and this year, well, this year, I'm a begonia. I love begonias, and, you know, not like the basic wax begonia kind of thing, but some mm-hmm. of the other begonias. And years ago when they first came out, I loved dragon wings, which is like mm-hmm. a big, you know, it's just a big plant. You know, you can put it in a big container and it shows off, you know, all season long. It's a great, reliable plant. And now you just shouted out canary wings,
mm-hmm.
which is a gold leaf version. So tell us a little bit about that one, for instance. And you used it in the displays there last year and so forth in recent years.
Yes, that was our one of our hanging baskets. That was I think that was near our, I want to say it was right in between our vegetable garden. And I mean, it, as you can see from the photo, it was just stunning, like perfect uniformity, and that the chartreuse colors really stood out against the red there. So yeah, begonias are, you know, we use them not only in hanging baskets, also containers too. They're just so versatile around here.
Right. I mean, the canary wings, like the dragon wings, I don't know, they must get about what, like 18 inches or something. I mean, they're
mm-hmm.
it's a good sized plant, and it's almost shrubby, and you know what I mean? It's like dense. It's like, it's not just a little wispy thing or anything.
Right.
The beautiful red flowers against that gold foliage. Yeah. And last year, I don't know if you've personally grown, but Griffon, I think that's how you pronounce it, Gryphon. Mm-hmm. Do you guys grow that one? Or are you still growing that one?
That was actually one of our indoor plants. It's actually sitting right outside my office.
That's what I was going to say. I grow it as a house plant. So that's, yeah. And then I bring them out in the summer, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So how's it doing for you?
It's doing pretty good. It is definitely ready to go back outside, to kind of get some nice sunlight and a little bit more humidity. But I was just looking at it before this, and, how the stems, like you said, are like super succulent almost. And I think I measured, they were just under 1 inch in diameter.
That's what people should know. They may see these, and these are ones that have, how would you describe the leaf shape? How is it, like, exaggerated, maple-y or something?
It's very palmate, I guess.
Yes, like hand-like. Okay, good. And they tend to have a lot of silvery background and then markings on it. So they're very showy, and you might see them in the sort of annual department of your garden center at this time, in spring, to be used as like container plants or whatever. But if you carry it over, it eventually grows up into this thing with these like trunks, so to speak,
They're thick.
They're thick, like succulent, like really. I have a lot of houseplants that are what I would call caudiciform, that have like a structure, like either a big thick base, a swollen base, or something that even when they're dormant is present, is still alive. And that's how these guys are. Mine, begonia, my griffins, and the other related ones that I have, they defoliate in the winter house conditions, but then I withdraw water. I stop watering, but they have this like structure. They're like these sculptures. They're hilarious.
Yeah. It's really gorgeous. When you look close, you're like, it's just amazing. I didn't expect that to be there, that stems to grow that way.
Yeah. So I think that's a kind of cool indoor outdoor four season, so I was glad to see you shout that one out too.
Another good indoor one. I don't think it's not on the list this year, but I think it was nominated, or I nominated. It was River Nile.
Oh,
it's a rhizomatous begonia, and it has like this sort of lime chartreuse color again, but on the edge it's like a dark purplish red brown kind of color.
Oh boy, and I'm in trouble.
the leaves are also even like ruffled and kind of crinkly. They're rough, but I just love the color of that one, and it's performed really well indoors.
Oh, I'm gonna have to look it up. I'll look it up on the River Nile begonia. Mobot. I'll look it up on the finder, and then I'll see if I can find it in my stores here. So speaking of great things for pots, because those are kind of great, container subjects, I see you guys like elephant ears, alocasias and colocasias and so forth.
Yes. Yeah. I was looking at the list of what we have planted in the past, and you're right, it's so many. It's just that they're such great pieces to fill in an area, and they do take up a decent amount of space, but just to add some texture, a little bit of foliage color, and they do really well in our area. We've grown them all throughout the garden, and even I recall, I think it was last year, we even had one in our water lily pools. I think that was one of the darker foliage colored ones, but there's just so many that we've used as, I remember they were planted entrance to our children's garden. We've used them in, as a planting in our annual trials, even in our display in front of the Climatron, the central axis display, just in combinations with other plants. They're just, you can put them everywhere.
And do you plant a lot of them in large containers, or do you put them in the ground, or both? Or
we do put them in the ground, and we treat them, of course, as annuals. We bring them in each year. We don't really overwinter them.
Right.
The only one though that has it, there's one called China Pink, and it's hardy in zone 6 to 10, and we're zone 6, so it's marginally hardy.
Oh.
And we have this one out in what we call our climate garden. Mm-hmm. So we jokingly say that this is where our plants go to die, because we're testing plants in zones 7 to 9, stuff that's way outside of our hardiness region, and seeing if they you know, who knows, they might be able to stick around. And the China pink, it has, I think it's going on its third or fourth year, or at least wow. It has survived three winters. And so we're probably going to be taking that one out and moving it to another part of the garden to see if it still will thrive. But that's one that potentially could make it here.
Interesting. And so when you overwinter them, I mean, you have all kinds of incredible world-class facilities, but, mm-hmm. but like for regular folks, some of them are easier. Some of them make more of a, like a big, like tubery kind of thing. And some of them less so. Some of them are a little easier or harder to overwinter, mm-hmm. you know, and I have a little more difficulty with certain ones making them happy. I like the ones that are like rock hard. You can throw it in the basement kind of thing. Like the old fashioned elephant ears, the sort of ubiquitous one that, you know, mm-hmm. But any other sort of tricks or tips or anything about do you unpot them all or what do you do?
We just, I mean,
because you're digging them up, right?
Yeah, we're digging them up, but we actually are limited on space, so we're not able to really store many of them. Mm-hmm. And if you do want to store them, it's like you said, the typical, you know, dig them up after the first frost, let them dry down, and then put them in, you know, wood shavings or peat moss or something like that for storage.
Right. Yeah. But what's great about them is that some of them, I mean, like the leaf is just so bold, and now there's all of these textures and like leaf colors and so forth. So it's really become quite a collectible.
Yeah. Actually, there is one that can be overwintered. Actually, we have it as a house plant. And it's Alocasia, I think, Amazonica poly?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sometimes we have one specimen here indoors, and that one we might overwinter indoors as well, but...
Yeah, it's a funny one. I have big pots of it for many, many years, and I bring it in, it's happy for a while, and then it says, I'm going to sleep, Margaret. the heck with you. And it's, do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
And it's a, you know, combination of temperature and light and who knows what, you know, day length, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when it decides to, it says, I want to wake up now, Margaret, give me a drink. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you have to read these plants and get to know them, because it's in each of our individual conditions. It's a different protocol, right?
Yes.
Like your conditions and my, if we say put it in the basement, well, my basement is a different temperature and humidity than your basement, and so forth. So
yes,
it's experiments.
Absolutely. Actually, that's two things I always tell people, like, you know, horticulture is, you know, there's a lot of gray area for things. And just, I'm like, if we don't know the answer, just try it, give it a shot and see what happens. Either way, you learn something. And sometimes people say, oh, I can't grow this, I have a brown thumb. And I'm like, no, it's not that you don't have a green thumb. It's that each plant has its own personality.
Yeah.
And just like each of us has our own likes and dislikes, and you've got to learn what that plant, you know, likes and what it doesn't like.
Yes. Yes, definitely. One thing I have not really grown, and you have one that makes in the list this year, on the Plants of Merit list, you have this like flashy looking ornamental pepper. I really haven't gone for the ornamental pepper thing, but looking at that one, it's called Onyx Red, I think.
Yes.
Wow.
I love our ornamental peppers. If I had more space for a garden, that's what I would be growing.
Oh, okay. So interesting. So here we are, two keen gardeners, plant nerds, as you describe it. And yet I haven't, and you do. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Onyx Red was a really nice one. You can, again, if you ever look at the image on our Plant Finder database, you can see how well that grows. We usually plant them in our vegetable garden, and they kind of are an edge piece or kind of line a bed, or, and sometimes they're mixed in, but this one was just really just that dark purple. It had, it took full sun and looked great all throughout the year.
So it has the onyx is the dark purple foliage, and the red, onyx red, is the red fruits. Is that mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Little red, I guess berries, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's dramatic. I don't know. As far as I looked for seeds after I saw it, I looked for seeds in case I can't find it at the nursery. I thought maybe there'd still be time to start it. And I saw a couple of places, Totally Tomato and TNT Seeds mm-hmm. online. You know, I did just a Google search trying to find it. I don't know how you've probably already started your plants. They're probably well along already because you're using. Yeah.
Yeah. We start ours, quite early. And actually, I saw Harris Seeds had this one too.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because actually, this was an All America Selections winner, I think, out of 2018.
I was surprised not to find it at more places. That's what I was wondering. And maybe it's just so popular that it's been bought out. And you know, the run on seeds the last couple of years. So
Yeah. And there's other ones that we've grown in our vegetable garden that I love. Like there's one called Calico. And it has this kind of mottled leaf, like the leaf is like green, whitish, not variegated, but pretty close. And the purple flowers and then red fruit. We also have one that has been grown a couple of years called Chinese Five Color. It grows a little bit taller, but the fruit looks like Christmas bulb lights, like tiny ones, they change colors. So you'll have one that they start out all purple, but then as they mature, they'll be red, yellow, orange, and purple all on the same plant.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. So, interesting. So ornamental peppers. So something to consider when we're out shopping, you know, this spring for sure.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful. All so many different kinds of cool. There's even one called Medusa that's got sort of, the peppers are kind of elongated, but they're all snake-like, like Medusa.
Yeah. Cool. So we have maybe 4 minutes or so left. So I want to just say there's one group of plants you didn't have to convince me about to go shopping for, because I already have a crazy collection, are what I call voodoo lilies. That's a loose common name, but you have Amorphophallus konjac on the 2022 list. Now, who put that oddball forward for the honor? Because, you know, it is an oddball.
It is. And actually, that was Travis, who was over our bulb garden. He was the one you spoke to about the Fraser fir.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So that was his nomination. And I was happy to see that one too, because, you know, we don't have it. The nominations don't always have to be the pretty colorful stuff. It can be the unique stuff. And this is it's a conversation piece. It does smell. Yes, it is a little stinky, but it's really unique. It's something you don't normally see. And it just adds a really interesting element in your garden. I'm sure. Since you are a fan.
Yeah. And they don't always bloom for me. And the thing, to tell you the truth, I have them, and I have a lot of different ones besides konjac. And then I have, it's sort of cousin Soromatum is another genus of, again, voodoo lilies. And they're like underground is like just these little bulbs. I don't even know if they're technically bulbs or tubers or what they are. But so they're easy to just put the dry, you know, the pot of dried down pot in the cellar for the winter and then bring it back up and water them next year. And I make like arrangements of pots of them because their foliage is so great. Yeah. They're just gorgeous. And like the front of a vignette of mixed pots. Do you know what I mean? They just, the way that the colocasias and the alocasias would be great for sort of more the background, the big, right? These guys do the same thing for me in the foreground. So I have lots of pots of them and they're just fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, who knows? But you have so many interesting, one of my favorite trees, you shouted out the sourwood. Just quickly tell us about that guy.
Yeah, that was just, first of all, to see more of an ericaceous tree, that's very unique, but I'm not sure who made that nomination, but it's just a really nice, I love how the flowers kind of cascade down, it's very dainty, and then of course the fall color is just amazing, with all the variations in yellows and reds.
Oxydendrum arboreum, is that right? Did I get that right?
Yes.
It's great, the sourwood. It's a really, I have an old one in the garden, and the fall color is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last couple of minutes, want to tell us anything about anything new for people to know about? Or, I know a lot of people who are listening don't live near you, although it might be a good place for a summer vacation to come visit.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything going on or any online events going on or anything you want to tell us about?
Yeah, sure. So, right now we're in the full of spring. Everything is blooming, starting to bloom right now. And our cherry blossoms just hit peak this week. And so you can view some of our photos on social media if you can't be here.
Yes.
But if you do want to plan a trip to the garden, we always say the best kind of time, sweet spot is like the last week of April, first week of May. That's when a lot of things are blooming at this time. Anytime you come, there's always going to be something interesting to see. there's so much to look at.
Yeah, an amazing place. And you are you at home? Are you doing a community garden at Plotted Home still at your apartment or your home?
Actually, the garden has a small community garden plot. So some of the staff grow things. So cool. I'm growing a couple of cool season vegetables like onions, arugula, which is one of my favorites, peas, I think lettuce. And I was going to try some carrots. They didn't do too good last year, but we'll give them a second try. And I split up half my bed because it's very small, but I did half with cool season veggies and then the rest with like ornamental, colorful stuff. So my tulips bloomed last week.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they popped up pretty quick. And then I have some hyacinths and coleus, but I do have a few more tulips that are getting ready to bloom as well. So I live in an apartment, so it's always nice to have a little plot to call my own. But then, of course, I have the garden as well, so I claim that as my garden as well.
Yeah, pretty nice, pretty nice. Well, Daria McKelvey, I'm so happy to speak to you, and I hope we're going to speak again, and I want to hear what's going on later in the season too. So thank you so much for making time. I know you're swamped, so it's April.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great. Okay. Been great talking with you.
Talk to you again soon.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Programming and underwriting support from Royal Botanic Gardens, publishers of Kew Pocketbooks, small gift books illustrated from Kew's vast collection of botanical art. The most recent book, Fungi, about the strange and singular world of mushrooms, toadstools, and their kin. In bookstores now. Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top-quality spring-blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher or on Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy plant shopping and gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.